Weekend of February 26, 2005, you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat, volume number two. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm not doing so great.
Oh, no.
I have a little bit of a cold, so I hope that I don't do any coughing during our podcast. And I think my voice sounds kind of funny and congested. And I'm a little depressed, but you know why.
Aw.
We don't have to talk about it.
Okay, we won't talk about it, but hopefully this podcast will cheer you up. You know, it's good therapy to discuss things.
That's right.
Although we won't discuss what's got you down this week. Anyway, you know, I'm impressed. We not only is this our second podcast, so we actually did do a second one, and we're going to continue this.
But we're still talking to each other.
We're still talking to each other, and you know, we did get some positive feedback from the first one. So we did hear back from a few people who said, keep it up.
I did have to pay them off, but
how much did it cost?
I can't talk about what I pay off people. That's a secret.
Not always just money. Well, one of the things that I found, I had an interesting thought listening to some of the podcasts that I like out there that has to do with sort of you and I, you know, discussing and everything, is I thought it was interesting that you got a lot of husband and wife teams doing podcasts. The obvious one is Dawn and Drew, and you also got Viva Podcast, which is one of my favorites. But a thought occurred to me is that this has got to be good for marriages, because where else in a marriage would you have two people who've been married, you know, 5, 10 years, whatever, that would all of a sudden start talking and really trying to be interesting to each other, you know, and having interesting conversations? Because a lot of times, you know, when you're used to a relationship, you just sort of fall back into old routine. So I've got to think that podcasting is probably a good form of therapy.
Well, I would think so, too. But I bet you're not going to get very many people who podcast who don't like each other.
Yeah. I could just see a marriage counselor says, well, I think you guys need to podcast.
I could hear Leslie and Ron on a podcast. Oh my God, that would be such a nightmare.
Well, but the question is, would it make for a compelling podcast?
I'm afraid it wouldn't.
Oh no.
But I remember when we were growing up, we used to have to, I mean, we had dinner together as a family, and it was always at like 6 o'clock. Mom always made dinner and we sat down and we would talk about things, but you know, normally I was getting in trouble and it would eventually be me getting lectured by my dad for something I'd done or said.
Yeah. Well, for you listeners out there, neither Pat or I have kids. So it's a little bit of a different lifestyle in a way, but you know, when I was growing up, probably the same experience with you, is we always had dinner together and we would talk and have conversations about usually interesting things that would make for good podcasts. In fact, let me roll some tape. I'm just kidding. No, but I mean, you know, it's a time for people to talk about their day and so forth. And what I hear from other people is that they don't really do that anymore. Not so much.
How was your day?
How was your day?
Don't you remember that when I think Kramer is telling Jerry about getting married, and one of the horrible things about
Ed is classic. He was fantastic there.
You'll have to get together and tell her how your day was.
Yeah.
Well, today is the day after an important day for my family.
What happened?
Yesterday, my fourth nephew was born. Actually, I guess he's my third nephew, to my brother, Chris.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
It's very exciting.
Well, his name is Easton English Rodriguez.
Easton English. I don't know what to make of that.
I know.
It's a little bit English, a little bit Hispanic.
Well, Easton is my dad's name, and English is the original family name of Renee, Chris's wife. So that's
okay.
Why his name is Easton English. But the first thing I thought is he's going to be E.E. Rodriguez, E.E. Rodriguez.
Poor kid.
Poor kid, I know. But it's funny because when I think of the name Easton, it's my dad's name, but
yeah.
My dad was never called Easton. My mom always called my dad Rod, or Nino, or Roduccio. She's never called him Easton. So it's funny because, I would think that most people would have this experience that they would think, oh, well, that's my dad's name. I mean, I know that's my dad's name, but...
But it's not. He's not really known to her, so it's going to be tough to be Easton Jr. because there's really kind of no Easton Sr.
Right.
So where did Rod come from?
Rodriguez, my last name.
Oh, duh.
Duh.
Maybe I can work that in.
Nobody's ever called me Rod, though.
Well, maybe because you're not a man. This is kind of a male name, I guess.
They call me Hot Rod.
Hot Rod. Who's called you Hot Rod?
Okay, nobody did. In my dreams, Brad Pitt calls me that.
Ah.
Well, anyway, so happy being born on February 24th, 2005 to my nephew, Easton English Rodriguez.
Happy being born. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the week. I thought one thing that was in the news was very interesting was Paris Hilton. You know, what is up with this stuff? I can't, is it just me, but I'm thinking this is all, again, another publicity stunt.
Well, you'll have to tell me what happened, because, you know, I went to Tulsa last week, and I got sick, so...
They don't get the news in Tulsa.
They don't get the news. No, but they have a lot of religious shows in Tulsa.
Well, did you get caught up on religion?
I did. I am all caught up.
Well, basically, in a nutshell...
So what happened?
It's a pretty short story. Her cell phone was hacked into, so they actually showed it on the internet. They showed, I listened to some voicemails to Paris Hilton, and I saw some pictures that she took with her digital camera, which is mostly of her naked, apparently for her lover or whatever. But, you know, even the voicemails sounded kind of phony. I'm just suspicious of it all. I don't, I mean, it was made big news. The late night talk shows are all over it because, you know, Paris Hilton's pretty easy to make fun of, but... I'm not buying it. I'm just not. And then just yesterday, Fred Durst, who's the lead singer for Limp Bizkit, they also, apparently his cell phone was hacked.
Why are they talking about his penis?
Limp Bizkit? Ba-dum-bump. His cell phone was hacked, and they had a 5-minute video of him having sex.
What are people doing with their phone and having sex?
I don't know.
I mean, I make phone calls. When on my phone, and that's it. Well, I guess some of
that
those
is phones, such a woman from the 90s.
I guess some of those phone calls I make might be kind of interesting.
Okay, did you hear that? Hear that, everybody? So if you can hack into to Pat's cell phone, it might be interesting. So I don't know about all this hacking business, but it's kind of funny to watch. I haven't gone to try to look for the Fred Durst videotape. I don't know if it's been posted or not, but...
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they've got Paris Hilton doing a lot of things, so it does sort of make you think that it's a setup.
Yeah, exactly. I think this woman is all about, okay, I've got my 15 minutes of fame. How do I stretch this out to 20 and 25 minutes, you know? Because she's, I don't know.
She's vapid.
But the other thing about cell phones that are interesting is, in a slightly different turn, BBC News came out and said that one-third of the people who own cell phones currently, this is in England, so it doesn't apply here necessarily, but I imagine it's the same, say if they lost their cell phone, they're afraid that they would lose touch with most of their friends because they don't know their phone numbers, they don't know how to reach them, they don't know their emails, because nobody's making backups of anything.
I see. Well, you know, I've had an experience where I lost either a cell phone or a PDA device, and I immediately created a card file,
uh-huh,
a hard copy of everything.
See, smart. But probably you have to be burned once in order for that to happen. And I think for a lot of people who have just, you know, their first cell phone is one of these things that have just mega space for everything about their life. They probably haven't gone through the rigors of what you and I have, computers that lose stuff. So.
Well, you know, the other thing about cell phones is, like, at work, I'll put people's name in that I have to call for a lot of reasons, for work reasons, and then I don't work with them any longer. I always feel bummed when I have to delete them. They don't know they're getting deleted from my cell phone.
I feel guilty.
I feel bad.
Yeah. It's like a form of recognition. It's our generation's version of a formal recognition of closure.
Exactly. That's definitely true. I remember last year there was some guy I liked a lot, and when I removed him from my cell phone, I felt so grown up, like, woohoo, I've done something to close the door.
And he doesn't even know about it.
He doesn't even know about it. Well, then, you know, then there's I am.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, at work, we've got, we have a special client that's made for instant messaging. We don't use like AOL, or you know that, Jeff.
Right.
And on that one, when you want to add somebody, it sends them a little note that says, so-and-so wants to add you, and you have to agree to let them add you. So you could actually say no. And I thought to myself, what if I send it something like, I want to be added, and the person says no? I call him up and say, what are you doing? You can't say no.
How insulting would that be? I mean, that would, you know, it says a lot.
I see myself being Elaine doing that, you know, calling.
Yes.
What do you mean you're not adding me? You need to add me.
It takes one mouse click. What are you talking about? One mouse click. I'm not worthy of one mouse click.
You don't have a square to spare?
I'm not mouse click worthy.
So now, but the other thing that happens is that now I have a long list of people that I used to work with on my IM, and now I don't work with them, so I hesitate to remove them because I've gotten messages that says, you're being removed. I'm like, ooh.
I know.
So it's different than the cell phone because now you know.
Now you know.
You're getting
X'd. You can't do it invisibly.
So.
There's got to be some improvements in that, I think.
Well, you know, the device you sent me last week, I thought was pretty hilarious. The one that you can put on your dog.
Oh, yeah. What was that thing?
It was like this headset that you can put on the canine dogs, and it had audio and video, so the dog would go in to
some dangerous place. It's like a doggy cam, basically.
Yeah, doggy cam.
And I think the reason it came up, I found it on Engadget, it came up because I think police are starting to use it. But I just thought, heck, wouldn't it be fun, you know, put that on Belle. See what the heck Belle does all day while you're at work. Just have a little doggy cam up on your screen.
I want to know what Belle does all day. Yeah. I mean, I think she does a lot of sleeping. But I'm wondering what else she does.
You might be surprised.
She might
have her little doggy friends over.
She might even have cat friends over.
You never know.
Well, we're going to start a segment on our show about getting to know us, because this is a new podcast for both of us, and you guys don't know us, and maybe after you know about us, you'll wish you didn't know about us. You'll want to send us something to pay you a bill for your wasted time, but in the meantime...
So I guess the idea is we're going to do this weekly, huh?
Weekly.
Little snippets of... fun stuff about us?
About us.
Or maybe not so much fun stuff.
Right. It could be strange stuff. But
strange stuff.
Actually, why don't we just start with normal stuff so people, we don't frighten off
anybody. We don't frighten off. That's a really good idea.
And you know, Jeff, this is something I don't think much about anymore because it's a part of you. And it's been a part of you for a long time. But, you know, I just happened to notice walking into the studio that big old piano you have in your dining room.
Yes, well, I think that's, I guess, if you want to get to know me, you want to, what, that's from some movie. You want to get to know, oh, Saturday Night Live, an old Saturday Night Live. Get to know me!
I don't know that.
That's silly. Anyways, if you want to get to know me, I guess the first thing, and I'll share this segment, is I'm into music. I'm into making music, producing music. I'm into buying new instruments and learning new instruments. I'm a little bit of a nut.
But, Jeff, now, did you start, how did you get into music?
I got into music. I was playing, actually I was kind of forced into it. I took piano lessons as a kid and I gave up like most kids do because I wasn't interested in practicing. And, I got into high school and my parents told me I should get into jazz band and I had no interest whatsoever. And they kind of forced me into it, to be honest with you. And then I did get into it and I hated it.
I thought, haven't I seen pictures of you with some musical instrument like a clarinet or something? No?
You might have seen me with a little old recorder, you know, that thing that they
teach
everybody in fifth grade. I used to jazz mine up a little bit. But anyway, so I got into jazz band. The only way to figure out what to do and what to play, because they didn't give you notes, I was a piano player, you had to learn chords. So I started to learn chords, And it gets into, you know, it's technical people can learn. It's very analytical, can learn chords and music theory.
I don't think I can.
Yeah, you could, because it's very analytical. So you start getting into that, and boom, something hit, and I really liked it. And so I love music. Basically, went a number of years without doing any kind of music at all. Bought that old grand piano, and then I bought some other production equipment and started making music. And then I decided, you know what my music is lacking is guitar. And I didn't know how to play. So I got a couple electric guitars and acoustic guitar, learned how to play, and now I add that to my music. So anyway, I'm a little bit of a nut.
Jeff wrote me a happy birthday song. Have you written me one or two?
I've one, I think. I wrote one for Susan, too. In fact, you think we should play it?
I think you should play it.
Okay.
You should play part of it. Pat
right.
turns 30 one more time again.
Okay, after this segment, we'll play it.
Okay.
It's a short song anyways. And it was one I did, I guess, probably 3 years ago now. Wait, actually,
yeah, because I'm 33 now.
I remember I got that song when I had my electric guitar literally for 3 weeks. I didn't hardly know how to play, and I did it. It's all right. So we'll play it after the segment. Okay, enough about me. Pat, tell us about the ironing information that is on our podcast website.
Well, you know, I thought that was funny because, you know, you sent me that the URL and said, oh, look what I've written, and I'm reading what you wrote. And I thought, oh, my God, that's so funny, because most of what you wrote was pretty silly.
Right.
And then, you know, and Pat likes ironing her pillowcases. And I thought, people are going to think that's not true. And in fact, it is true. I do like ironing my pillowcases. I don't know why I like to iron. I get a lot of satisfaction out of ironing, and maybe because it's a task that you can do. You can see, you get this wrinkly thing, and then it's not wrinkly, and you feel good about it. But I really can't sleep on, if I wash my sheets and take them out of the dryer, I have to iron them. I cannot put my head on an unironed sheet.
Wow. You know, I have a housekeeper, too. Give my props out to two. She does an incredible job, and I would just not be able to manage this house without her. But she does my laundry, but she doesn't iron.
She doesn't iron.
So I don't get my pillowcases ironed. No wonder something hasn't been clicking. I should take them to your place.
I thought you meant no wonder something hasn't been clicking between me and you. You know, what's been keeping us apart is that I've seen your unironed pillowcases, baby.
It's kind of a turnoff, isn't it?
It's a turnoff. It makes me run for the hills.
Yeah, it kind of makes me run for the hills, too, to see ironed ones. That's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, that's the most normal thing about me. That's what I have to say.
Okay, we're going to save some more things for later segments. So this was today's segment, or this week's segment of Getting to Know You.
Getting to Know You.
All right, here is a song that I wrote for a birthday party that we had for Pat. And I had just basically learned to play the electric guitar. So here it is. It's called 31.
I can remember when I met Pat for the very first time, studying math as I recall. Now she turns 30. Seems like she turned the same last year. Not sure she learned much math at all. Pat turns 30 one more time. Pat turns 30. Oh my my. Pat turns 30, unlike anyone. She never gets to 31. We're throwing a party, celebrating all the years she's had. All your friends are glad they came. Oh, we're all a bit different now, but in some ways we haven't changed. The number of candles stays the same. Pat turns 30 one more time. Pat turns 30. Oh my my. Pat turns 30, unlike anyone. She never gets to 31. She never gets to 31.
Jeff, you know, I really do appreciate all the technical stuff you do for our podcast and everything, and I feel like
I am the geek of the group, I guess.
Well, there's the brains and the beauty of every crowd.
Yeah, there you go.
But I, you know, I'm so embarrassed. So you got us a new website, or what did you do?
Yeah, let me explain, because the website was probably down about 6 hours or so. We have a new URL. I kind of talked, I was going to do this last week. We have a new URL. It is www.thisandthatpodcast.com. So we have our own domain. And the RSS feed that you guys have been getting has not changed. So that's the good news. I was able to work that. I did want to share a weird experience with this. This is the first time I ever tried to change domains or transfer my domain, because I had a couple other URLs that I did this. And
are you the master of your domain?
You know, after this week, I would hesitate to say I am the master of my domain. But listen to this. This is just how weird this whole thing is. Apparently, transferring your domain is not really made for non-geeks. I mean, you know, it's not, the web is not at the level enough that you just can't, you have to be kind of a geek and get into it. It's just weird. So this is my experience. One provider was hosting my music account. I called them up and I said, "No, how do I change domains to my new host?" And they said, "Oh, here's our new name. Tell me your new name server. Boom, and I'll do it." They did it right then. They didn't ask me for passwords. They didn't ask me for any kind of security. Anybody could have called up and done that.
Wow.
So that's weird. Okay, then I called my other provider.
Hacking.
Yeah, I know. Then I called my other provider who's hosting my my blog, and I did the same thing, and they had me go through
the third
hell.
Degree.
I mean, just
they wanted a stool sample.
Oh, I had to do this with them. I had to call a third party firm. I had to coordinate the timing, and then they wouldn't let. They basically, there was no way to exist without dropping off the web for about 6 hours. Absolutely no way, because I wanted to do a cutover. I wanted to load everything up on the new host. You know, so when the name server was swapped,
did you have a dress rehearsal?
That's an inside joke for those in technology who probably understand technological cutovers, but no. But there was no way they offered me any kind of possible way to not have a blackout. So anyways, just the inconsistency and difficulty of doing this amazed me. So now, maybe I am the master of my domain now.
You know, something that happened to me the other day, when I was thinking about you, what you were just mentioning there of having to prove who you were, I set up a PayPal account. You know, I set one up not long ago and sent you some money.
You paid me.
Did I tell you about how, like, within 2 weeks of having set up something, they sent me this email message that said they'd closed my account because my name was similar to a name on some special list. And until I proved, you know, who I was, my account was frozen. So my account is frozen.
Amazing.
So I contacted them, and they sent me some information. There's this, like, government website with the name of all these people.
A government website?
Yes.
What did they have you down for? What did you do?
My name is similar to, imagine this, to the names of some people who are probably drug traffickers in Colombia.
Wow. Wow.
So I don't have my PayPal account is closed until I prove who I am.
I think, again, this is just a long way of telling me you're not going to pay me.
That is. Well, I'm not going to be paying you in money.
Ooh.
Maybe I'll make you chocolate chip cookies.
Yay. Love chocolate chip cookies.
Oatmeal.
I like oatmeal, but not oatmeal cookies.
Oh,
I like
did not know that.
Flax seed in my oatmeal.
You're a dork.
We talked a little bit about Salon Magazine last week, and I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but another great benefit out of this $30 a year I pay is last night they opened up the ability to view 5 Oscar shorts for free, and they only had it for like a 24-hour window, so it was really cool. I love shorts. I saw the 2004 nominated shorts in this presentation at the Angelica Theater last year. In fact, did you come with us? I can't remember.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and I just love shorts. I think they're really easily digestible. And I saw 5 this
time.
Were
any of these Daisy Duke shorts?
I wish. But I saw 5 of them, and 2 of them, Pat, were just I was blown away. In fact, one of them I had to watch three times.
You're kidding.
It was so good.
Can you still see them?
No. The 24-hour window is gone.
Bummer.
I know.
Before you tell me about the shorts, give me some facts first. So a short is going to be from what to what length?
Yeah, a short is typically from like 5 minutes to about 15 minutes. I'm sure there's some official time limit, but that's what it is.
And it can be on any topic.
Yeah.
Documentary, drama, comedy.
The Oscars has three categories. They've got a documentary, short documentary. They've got a short animated, and they've got a short what they call live action.
Okay, so which ones did you see?
What we saw, I saw three of them were animated and two of them live action.
Okay, well, what about the ones you liked?
The ones I liked. The first one was from the animated one, and it was called, I'm looking at my notes here, called Ryan. And it was about, I wish I would remember the guy's name, but the director was Chris Landreth. And it makes me proud to be a geek. It's the best way I can say it. Because it was an animated segment, but it was so gracefully done. And he used technology to get inside, I don't know, so how can I say this? Sort of allowed you to see a fourth dimension of a guy. For example, you could see if somebody was uncomfortable by stuff that he had going on around his head. I mean, it didn't dawn on you right away that was going on, but it was a documentary, essentially, a cartoon documentary about this guy who apparently was extremely influential as a cartoonist back in the 70s, who is now panhandling. I mean, he's been a drug... He's got an addictive personality, and he's now panhandling and, you know, begging on the streets. And it was just an incredible movie. It blew me away. The beauty of the movie and the animation just was incredibly deep. I've never seen anything like it before.
Well, so explain to me the animation. Did it look like Pixar animation, or
did he
look like a cartoon person or a person?
Yeah, it's a good question. It was kind of a combination of Pixar and reality, because there was a lot of. It was very realistic, and the animation sort of. I'll give you some of it. Like. In some cases, when you could see he was deteriorating, you saw basically the shell of his head. I mean, the shell of his head and the shell of his bony arms, and it sort of was indicative of looking inside of him. It was really something. And it got to me in a way that I think a movie shot purely animated or purely live wouldn't have gotten.
Wow.
So if you guys can see Ryan, I would highly recommend it. The other one was a live action called 7:35 a.m. in the morning. And, no, 7:35 in the morning. Sorry, 7:35 a.m. in the morning. A little redundant. This was a Spanish film by a guy named Nacho Vigalondo.
I like nachos.
That's what I thought. I thought it was going to be about nachos. And anyways, this is the one that I saw three times in a row. I was fascinated. It was about 7 minutes long. And it got me thinking, what's great about it is the director slowly... as slow as you can get in a 7-minute segment, slowly unveils what's going on. This woman walks into a cafe. It's a black and white segment. She's in Madrid. She gets her coffee in the morning, 7:35 in the morning. Things are kind of weird. Like, nobody's talking, and it's kind of quiet, and she kind of looks around. All of a sudden, this guy gets up and starts singing about how happy he is that it's 7:35 in the morning. And then... other patrons uncomfortably start getting up and do like a choreographed dancing and singing segment. So it's really freaky weird, but the director unveils throughout this process a little bit more, and I'm not going to give anything away here, a little bit more about how this weird, weird thing can actually make sense. And it was the most incredible thing I think I've seen in a long, long time. 7:35 in the morning, and... I hope those two win in their respective categories, because I was blown away.
Wow, that's really cool. Now I want to see them.
I know.
How am I going to be able to see them?
Well, we'll have to wait until they normally will show, you know, the nominees in some sort of shorts events at one of the film festivals here.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad you told me about those. Those, I don't watch shorts that much, and I'm going to start watching them.
But, you know, I was watching them and thinking, this is just incredibly great. And I wonder, is one of the reasons why it's incredibly great because there's so little time that you can really plan something down to the last detail and just get it so right. So in a way, maybe it's easier to be sort of more, incredible when you're doing these short segments, or maybe it's just harder because you have to pack so much into a short segment. I don't know what to think of it.
Well, I mean, I think a short is not really any different than a short story is to like a book.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just it is a different art form. You have to know what you're trying to achieve and what you can achieve in that amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, that's all the time that we have today. Are you feeling any better, Pat?
Well,
did this therapeutical podcast of ours work?
No.
Oh.
Well, I would have to say for the time during the podcast, my mind was relieved of its burden, but I'm sure when it's over, I'll be pondering it again. Maybe I'll just have to listen obsessively to the podcast.
Go also listen to Viva Podcast and Don and Drew and Adam Curry. I just want to give those guys their due. They're awesome to listen to.
Great.
So, all right, that's it. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks
everybody. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Our URL again, www.thisandthat.com. And is that it?
Podcast.
www.thisandthatpodcam. www.thisandthatpodcast.com. And next time, what we're going to do, Beth?
We'll be wearing our clothes.
Woohoo! Woohoo! All right, bye. We'll be right back.